Chapter 8. The Triangle. As the last rays of sunlight slipped beneath the horizon, the Triangle's campground, now cloaked in shadows, took on an even more haunting aspect. With every step, Carl felt the weight of the stories that the land seemed desperate to tell. He could almost hear the screams of travelers who had gone before him, their presence still imprinted on the soil. The ground beneath Carl's feet felt alive with memories. It was as if the very soil whispered the secrets of past travelers, each footprint carrying a story of desperation or hope. The trees, ancient sentinels of this forsaken land, bore ghastly marks. Deep gouges clawed into their bark stood as the final testament of those who once ventured into the triangle. Their fingers, frantic and trembling, had etched silent pleas into the wood, perhaps as a warning, or maybe a vain attempt to leave behind a trace of their existence. Ragged remnants of long-forgotten tents, swallowed by the passage of time, littered the clearing. Their fabric, once a sanctuary for explorers, was now shredded and frayed. Each tent carried an eerie aura, echoing with the whispers of the souls who once took refuge within. As Carl cautiously approached one, its entrance sealed tight, the weight of anticipation pressed heavily upon him. What memories did it hide? What desperate screams might have echoed from within its fabric walls? Hesitantly, holding his breath, Carl reached out, his fingers trembling as they touched the tarp's coarse, weathered canvas texture. He slowly peeled back the flap, half expecting to find some ghastly relic of a bygone explorer. Instead, a raccoon, equally startled, bolted from the tent's confines, its sudden movement making Carl's heart leap into his throat. As it disappeared into the thickets, Carl tried to steady his racing heart. He pondered on the tales that brought these campers here, and wondered about their fate. Did they find solace, or did the triangle claim their sanity, their very souls? The still silence of the woods offered no answers, but the lingering aura of dread whispered tales of both hope and despair. Carl's eyes darted around the campsite. Every shadow, every rustle sent his heart racing. He began to see shapes in the darkness, familiar forms that vanished as soon as he blinked. Were they merely illusions, birthed from his own burgeoning fears, or real glimpses into the triangle's tortured past? He could sense the unseen eyes of history watching, waiting. He fought the suffocating feeling of being ensnared by the labyrinth of trees and eerie silences. The forest had an otherworldly quality, like a bridge between two realms, and Carl felt like an intruder. Shaking his head, Carl tried to dispel the web of creeping fear that threatened to consume him. He took a long, steadying breath, feeling the cool, damp air fill his lungs. Memories of Diane, vibrant and alive, flashed before him. Their laughter, the warmth of her touch, and the heart-wrenching void left behind by her untimely departure. It was that void, the haunting emptiness that had driven him here, to seek relief, understanding, and perhaps even a chance at redemption. The forest grew more silent as Carl ventured further into the triangle. Birds and insects fell quiet, leaving only the muffled sound of his footsteps on the mossy ground. Ahead, an otherworldly glow emerged from the path. It wasn't moonlight or lantern light. This was different. A luminescence that danced and fluttered like trapped auroras. Instinctively, Carl's hand moved to the necklace resting against his chest. The small dreamcatcher amulet, which Nahini had entrusted to him, seemed to come alive. It pulsed with a soft light, harmonizing with the glow from the path. The two sources of light, one from the amulet and the other from the ground, seemed to be in a silent conversation, resonating and responding to each other. A rush of understanding washed over Carl. This wasn't just a path, it was a beacon. Guided by the power of the amulet, he was being shown the way, a trail that many might have missed or overlooked. It was as if the spirits of the land recognized his intent, his earnest desire to understand and heal. They were lighting the way for him, inviting him deeper into the heart of the triangle's mystery. The dense forest soon surrounded Carl, and an overwhelming stillness pressed in. whispers, disjointed and ethereal, snaked around trees and touched his ears. Their origins remained a mystery. "Why are you here?" a voice softly asked. "Seeker," another voice crooned, drawing out the word in a haunting manner. "Turn back," a stern whisper cautioned. Chillingly, another voice seemed to be sobbing, repeating a melancholic, "Lost, forever lost." He even thought he caught the fleeting laugh of a child, only to be followed by a sharp whisper of, "Don't go further." Some voices seemed to plead, others to mock, while some were filled with such profound sorrow that it sent shivers down Carl's spine. Tightly gripping his dreamcatcher necklace, Carl felt a surge of courage. However, the voices persisted, making him acutely aware of the potential perils ahead. Emerging from the dense tree line, he came upon a vast clearing enveloped in a thick, almost supernatural fog. He paused to gather himself, then pressed on. The ground beneath his feet was damp, and with every step, the wet foliage seemed to grip his shoes, as though trying to pull him down. The overwhelming weight of silence was occasionally shattered by footsteps. He would whirl around, expecting to find someone or something behind him. But there was nothing. Nothing except faint imprints on the wet foliage, suggesting the steps of unseen beings. Suddenly, an icy cold gust stirred, and the drop in temperature made Carl shudder, and soft whispers began to emerge. But now, the forest was alive with more tangible threats. The fog grew thicker, reducing visibility. Every time Carl turned in the direction of the voice, it seemed to move, mocking him with its elusive nature. The environment around him became a playground for dark apparitions. As he strained to see what lay ahead, a haunting figure emerged from the dense white veil. A little girl, no more than 7 years old, stood just a few paces from him, her long black hair dripping wet as if freshly emerged from a deep lake, clung to her pale shoulders. Her eyes, devoid of any life, stared into Carl's soul. She raised a frail finger, pointing behind Carl, and in a voice that seemed to come from the depths of despair, whispered, "Go back." Before Carl could react, she vanished into the thick fog, leaving him with a cold chill and a pounding heart. More apparitions awaited. An old man, hunched over, his eyes hollowed out sockets, wandered aimlessly ahead, muttering incoherently to himself. Carl could make out the words "lost" and "forever." A row of silhouetted figures stood frozen in the distance. As Carl approached, he noticed they weren't statues but people, their features blurred, standing still as if time had trapped them in a haunting tableau of anguish and despair. He spun around, trying to locate the source of a scream, only to be met with the sight of shadowy hands reaching out from the ground, grasping and clawing at the air as if trying to pull themselves out of an abyss. The most distressing vision was of the dismembered form of Diane, her once vibrant face now twisted in agony. She reached out to him, her fingers trembling, her voice breaking as she mouthed his name. For a moment, he considered heeding the warnings, turning back from this haunted journey. The weight of the memories, combined with the relentless onslaught of these terrifying visions, was almost too much to bear. He realized that these visions, as chilling as they were, might be the triangle's defense mechanism, its way of deterring unwanted visitors. Carl felt a resurgence of resolve. The ever-present fog started to lift, revealing a moonlit clearing. And there it was, the cabin.